This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Black holes, the cosmos, space and time travel, science and technology, brought to you by theoretical physicist, futurist, popularizer of science, and world-renowned author, Professor Michio Kaku,
at GCNLive.com.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. On Science Fantastic, we profile the amazing, jaw-dropping scientific discoveries that are revolutionizing our world and touching our lives. And in this hour, we're going to bring back Dr. Nathan Lentz, author of a great book that I highly recommend. It's called Human Errors, a panorama of our glitches, from the pointless bones to broken genes. Now, when we think of the human body, we sometimes have this image of perfection. I mean, we have ballet and acrobatics and all sorts of Olympic sports to glamorize the human body. But how good is the human body anyway, as seen from an engineering and strictly practical point of view? Well, with us today is Dr. Nathan Lentz, professor of biology at John Jay College, a division of the City University of New York, and his new book is called Human Errors, a panorama of our glitches from pointless bones to broken genes. And also, if you want to find out more about Science Fantastic, go to my website, mkaku.org, mkaku.org. On Facebook, we have 3 million fans on Facebook. On Twitter, we have about 1 million fans per week on Twitter. And I've written 4 New York Times bestsellers, all of which you can find out on my website, mkaku.org. Well, Nathan, glad you could be on Science Fantastic once again.
Thanks so much for the invitation. I enjoy it.
Well, once again, when you were a child, think back when you were a kid. What steered you in the direction of science and then eventually biology?
Well, I've always had a curiosity about how things work. I was the kind of kid who took machines apart. I took electronics apart. I had a chemistry set. I was always tinkering and wondering, and I think that the one thing that all scientists and all disciplines have in common is that curiosity, that insatiable sense of, no, but how does it work? And if someone would give me a one-sentence explanation, and I'd always have more questions and more questions and more questions until it would got down to almost first principles. So I think that the curiosity is really what drives me. And then you ask how I got into biology. Well, as I was going through high school and college, I enjoyed chemistry and I enjoyed physics, but it was really biology that I thought was the ultimate mystery, because the driving question in my research now is how we got this way, the human beings, what makes us tick, what makes us different than other animals. And so that seems to me like the grandest question of all, but I'm sure all scientists think that about their work.
Okay, well, talking about human origins, let's talk about the recent debate that you've gotten into concerning, well, Adam and Eve. There are at least two ways of looking at Adam and Eve. One way is through the Bible, that God created Adam and then created Eve. The other way is through genetics, by saying that, well, we actually descended from an ape-like creature, and that the separation took place around 6 million years ago, and there's no one Adam or Eve. But there's also new genetic information showing that about 100,000 years ago, a handful of humans gave birth to the entire human race. In which case, in some sense, there was a genetic Eve and a genetic Adam that existed in a tribe that eventually gave birth to the entire human race. Now, on this spectrum, where do you fit?
Well, I'm a scientist, and I follow the scientific data pretty strictly. I think you're absolutely right that the overwhelming evidence argues for a naturalistic origin of humanity. We are descendant from ape-like ancestors. We share common ancestry with every living thing on this planet going back 4 billion years. There's really no real doubt about that. And in fact, as you said, the origins of our species are between 100 and 200,000 years ago in Africa. And there is such a thing as a mitochondrial Eve from which we're all descendant, or from whom we're all descendant, and a Y chromosome Adam from whom we're all descendant. But they lived in different places and at different times. And we have many other ancestors, not just them. And so I think science has very solidly disproven the idea that the entire race came from just two people. There's just simply no way that that could work out based on what we know of population genetics. However, a new idea, well, it's actually an old idea, but we've gotten new support, is that for Christians, and actually some Jews and Muslims as well, they really need to believe in Adam and Eve as ancestors of all of us in order to keep their faith. And so when their faith conflicts with science, a lot of times they just simply ditch the science and they stick with their faith. Well, this new idea that's come about is that you could have a special creation of Adam and Eve, and you know, in the world, and the world being just as we see it now, and the human race having descended from our ancestry as we know, and then they bred into that population. So a special Adam and Eve, maybe 10,000 years ago, were created, and then their offspring bred into the regular population. And then through what we now know is called universal ancestry, they very well could have become one of our many universal ancestors. So their offspring continued to spread all around the world and breed into all the populations around the world, to the sense that we all have, among our many billions of ancestors, this special couple. Now, just to be clear, I don't believe in Adam and Eve at all. I'm an atheist. I have no reason to believe in any of that. But some people do, and they take that belief very seriously. So I've come out in support of this idea that science doesn't disprove the possibility of a special creation for Adam and Eve, as long as they maintain that they bred into the regular population, because we know from the genetics that was never just two people. That's impossible. But there's many ancestors that leave no trace in our genomes. We call those genealogical ancestors, not genetic ancestors. So to really understand this hypothesis, you have to separate genetic ancestry from genealogical ancestry. And there's nothing saying that Adam and Eve couldn't have been our genealogical ancestors. And that's really all that the claim is. And if it brings more Christians on board with evolutionary science, I'm all for it.
So let's back up a bit. You're saying that on one hand, we have the grand sweep of our family tree going all the way back to the ape-like creatures in Africa. That's one branch. But you're saying that maybe, 10,000 years ago, that there was a special couple, an Adam and Eve, that bred into this long stream that then created the human race? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not saying that happened. I'm saying that science couldn't disprove it. And that the human race existed before that couple. We definitely know that. And they had spread to most corners of the earth by that point. But it's also possible that they could have bred into that population and then their ancestry spread through the population that already existed. And that would be sort of what I say is that moves this miracle, as we would call it, into the column of miracles that science can't really prove or disprove. And that's why I'm okay with this, because it's not bending science to religion. It's sort of rewriting a religious interpretation so that it's compatible with science. And so in that regard, I'm all for it.
Okay.
Because it doesn't force people to choose one or the other. Because a lot of people have chosen their religion over science. So if they revise their understanding of the book of Genesis so that it's compatible with science, then that's great. You have a resolution to that conflict. And I'm tired of the conflict, of the fighting over science, when science offers us so much. And we need science to get us through all the problems that we face right now. I'd rather not be fighting people about science.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your book now. Your book is called Human Errors, A Panorama of Our Glitches from Pointless Bones to Broken Genes. We've had you on before to begin a discussion of your book, but there's so many things in your book. Let me ask you the following question. We've had people on Science Fantastic who build robots. And if you were to build a robot from scratch, I mean, forget the Terminator, forget Arnold Schwarzenegger. If you were to design a robot from scratch, the first thing that you would throw out is the back. The back gets thrown out when you're about 40 years of age. What a horrible design flaw. And after the break, we'll talk to you about whether or not our body is really designed optimally. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call if you want to get on 100 radio stations. The number to call is 612-564-8135.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Wayne has to say.
Extendivite. I've been taking it for about 2 years, and I had really bad heart palpitations. And since I've been taking it, I don't have any major episodes at all anymore. I'm 76 years old, and I still play competitive basketball. Well, of course, I've taken care of myself really good since I was 60, but Extendivite really helped the blood pressure, really helped the... I used to get really bad episodes of heart palpitations, just skipping beats and double beats. But also, I wanted to tell you that I really appreciate your broadcast. They're just really refreshing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the 3-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Nathan Lenz, Professor of Biology at John Jay College of the City University of New York. And we're talking about his delightful book, Human Errors, A Panorama of Our Glitches from Pointless Bones to Broken Genes. Well, as I mentioned, we've had roboticists on Science Fantastic who try to design robots from scratch. Rather than having them have humanoid form, have them have the most efficient form. And they say that our swayback, which seems so elegant when we watch the ballet operas and look at dance shows, the swayback is a horrible way to design a robot. I mean, a long time ago, we used to walk on our knuckles. And walking on our knuckles, our backbone arched forward. But one day, we don't know how, but one day we stood upright, wrenching our back into an S, into this horrible sway back, freeing up our hands, accelerating our evolution as humans, but at a tremendous cost of ruining our back. And if you hit the age of 40, you'll realize that, yes, your back goes out when you hit around the age of 40. So if you were to design a robot, would you design a robot with a back like ours? And what other kinds of things would you change?
Yeah, well, our S-shaped backbone certainly is a problem because it creates points of weakness. If it were much more straight or vertical, the weight would be distributed more appropriately. But with these sharp curves, especially in the lower region, the lumbar part of the back, we've inserted a couple of extra vertebrae compared to our ancestors, but it still has this nice sharp curve, and that's really the point of weakness. It's usually the lower back that gives you the problem. And what happens is when you have a curved vertebral column, the little discs of cartilage in between, they're designed to absorb the shock and to lubricate those joints. They get squeezed out. You can imagine it's a curved one, so you have it's squeezed more tightly on one side than the other, so it pushes it out in that direction, and that's called a slip disc or a herniated disc. And no other apes deal with this. Herniated discs are very common in the human condition, but we never see gorillas or chimpanzees with slip discs because their backs have a much more gentle sloping to them. It's kind of a gentle J or C-shaped slope to them, whereas ours has this sharp curve that really creates the problem. But there's a number of problems with our back, as well as our knees and our ankles. I always say we are only partially adapted to upright walking. We never fully completed the transition. And part of the problem was that the transition was made in the evolutionary blink of an eye. It was really quick when we went from walking on all fours to walking upright. And anything you do quickly, you don't do well. You don't do it thoroughly. And so if that had been a more gradual transition, I think natural selection could have shaped our joints much better. But instead, we have this very weak ACL. The ACL is the ligament that holds the upper leg and the lower leg together. It does the lion's share of the work. And there's no way to make it stronger. It's a ligament, not a muscle. So our bodies just are too big for this tiny little ligament. And what happens is when you turn suddenly, you put enormous strain on the ACL, and it breaks and it tears, and it really requires surgical repair. So all the ACL injuries that you see in sports, that's really a function of two things. Number one, our bodies are getting much bigger. But number two, that ligament is just not up to the task. Evolution didn't make it. It didn't bulk it up the way it should have when we transitioned from four legs to just two.
And also, going back even further into our evolutionary past, isn't it true that, well, we have tailbones, and doesn't that mean that once upon a time we had tails, and that in hospitals, every once in a while, a baby is born with a short tail, and of course they have to cut the tail off or else it'll freak out the mother, but isn't it true that that's a remnant of our evolution?
Yeah, that's right. Our tailbone itself is a vestigial structure. You have either three, four, or five extra vertebrae at the end that you really don't need. And the way that we know you don't need them is if you were to cut off the tailbone, it's called the coccyx. So if you had a coccygectomy, there are no side effects. You don't have any problems sitting or standing or laying. You don't have any problems with continence or bowel control. It really doesn't do anything. And it's an extra structure. And the reason why some people have them removed is that just like any other tissue in your body, it can get cancer. So one thing I say is the only thing the tailbone does for you is occasionally get cancer. Not commonly, but if it does, obviously that would be a flaw for those individuals. But the most interesting thing about the tailbone is that most of us, not even all of us, but most of us have a muscle attached to it called the pyramidalis muscle. And this muscle would be able to flex our tail and move it around if we had one. So I often say we don't have a tail, but if we did, we do have the muscle that could move it around. And that's just an example of how evolution never really completed the regression of the tail either. Our fellow apes don't have tails either. Most monkeys do. But it regressed and regressed and regressed through mutation. And the birth defect that you mentioned where sometimes a baby is born with a partial tail, what you're seeing there is what's called a spontaneous revertant, where you revert a previous mutation to its previous form, and then it sort of unmasks some of what evolution has already dealt with. And you see this sometimes where dolphins are born with little tiny hind fins. Sometimes even snakes, you can see the remnants of a pelvis, even though they don't have any limbs to attach to it. So the echoes of our past can sometimes be seen in our bodies, especially when you have revertants or mutations like this. You can see some of the phases that we went through in evolution to get to the form that we're in. But evolution is sloppy. It's aimless. It is not goal-oriented. It doesn't move in a particular direction. It just sort of trims us to be the best we can with the bodies that we have and the environments that we live in. And when those environments change, we struggle to keep up. None of us are perfectly adapted. We'll never be perfectly adapted. You mentioned some of the glorious feats of human, the human physical form, but those are extreme. We think of the beautiful athletes and ballet dancers, but how many years of training and of rigor does it take to get to that extreme form? Most of us don't have bodies anything like that. In fact, there are way more people with torn ACLs than people who can do, a backflip. So I would say that the extremes of human performance really aren't a good yardstick to measure human perfection.
And also, though we have a lot of vestigial organs that we don't really need, like the appendix, we really don't need an appendix anymore. In fact, if it gets inflamed, it could actually kill you, right?
Right. That's correct. And the appendix is an interesting story because we do know that if you remove the appendix, some people have an increased chance of getting a certain type of colitis. So it might actually be functioning to as a reservoir of good bacteria. And so some people have said, no, it's not vestigial, it's important. But I would argue it's still in a sense a flaw because, yes, it might harbor some good bacteria, but when it gets inflamed, it kills you. So it's hard not to see it as a flaw if you get appendicitis. So whether you have colitis or not, if you have appendicitis, it's a lethal condition. I mean, you need surgery immediately or you'll die. So, and surgery was only invented about 140 years ago, and that surgery in particular is probably less than 100 years ago. So I would say that it was definitely a flaw, and if you've ever had appendicitis, it's hard to see it as anything other than a flaw.
And also, if you think about evolution, right, evolutionary pressure only takes place during the years when you can have a baby. That is, from, let's say, up to 25 years of age, let's say. And after that, evolution doesn't care because you got the child. Child can then fend for itself. And so doesn't that mean that certain diseases of old people are diseases that evolution never neglected to solve, like Parkinson's, the diseases of the brain, even aging, Alzheimer's? These are diseases of old people, right? Cancer. But aren't they diseases that evolution never bothered to finish because after 25, you don't have kids anymore?
Yes, to a certain extent, that's true, that evolution has a great big blind spot when we get to more advanced age, in the sense that death and survival just don't seem to impact the future of the species very much. But I would put a slight condition on that in the sense that our social structure is so intricate, and our older generation is so involved in the lives of the younger generation, that actually there is some natural selection does act on an older age, at least with our social structure, in the sense that young children are better off when their grandparents are around and helping them. So we happen to benefit from a little bit of natural selection in older age, much more than most species do, because of the value that older people have in the success of younger people. But that's a fairly recent trick. And menopause, actually, one theory about menopause is that it actually nudges older women to be more involved in their grandchildren's life rather than just creating more children themselves. So that might be a chance of an example of natural selection really acting later in life. But you are absolutely correct.
Okay, let's take another short commercial break. And after the break, we're going to continue a discussion with Human Errors, a panorama of our glitches from pointless bones to broken genes. And you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call at 612-564-8135. And maybe you can get on national radio. Give us a call.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hospitals could soon face shortages of critical surgical tools because several plants that sterilize the equipment have been shut down, according to government health officials. The Food and Drug Administration flagged the issue in an online statement to medical professionals, saying the result could be years of shortages of supplies used in heart surgery, knee replacements, C-sections, and many other procedures. The warning follows the recent closure of several sterilization facilities that use ethylene oxide. The gas is critical for cleaning medical equipment, but it can be hazardous at elevated levels and is increasingly being scrutinized by state health and environmental officials. President Donald Trump's company said it is exploring the sale of its landmark Washington hotel after nearly 3 years of ethics complaints and lawsuits accusing him of trying to profit off the presidency. The Trump Organization says it will consider offers to buy out the 60-year lease, which, since opening in late 2016, has become a magnet for lobbyists and diplomats looking to gain favor with the administration. This is USA Radio News.
Tired of overpaying for the little blue pill? What if you could get the exact same results for just a fraction of the price, guaranteed? Well, now you can with Sildenafil, the active ingredient in the blue pill. With 20 milligram generic Sildenafil tablets, you get the exact same results for less than $2 per pill, and again, the results are guaranteed. That's right, absolutely guaranteed results for a fraction of the cost of the little blue pill. So give your wallet a break and call us toll-free at 800-365-6017 to get your generic Sildenafil delivered discreetly to your door. And of course, while saving hundreds of dollars, you'll also be saving time by saying goodbye to those long, embarrassing pharmacy lines once and for all. Again, just call 800-365-6017 and get your generic Sildenafil with a 100% money-back guarantee. Getting your pills doesn't get any easier or cheaper than this, so call 800-365-6017 now.
I'm Ben Utek. I played high school, college, and pro football, helping my team win the 2006 championship. It was an amazing day, but it can't compare to the joy I feel every day with my loving wife and three beautiful daughters. My football career ended after I suffered my fifth concussion. Did you know that over a million athletes suffer a concussion each year? That includes boys and girls, every age, every type and level of sport. It isn't always clear that a player has had a concussion, so parents, athletes, and coaches need to learn about concussion signs and symptoms. The American Academy of Neurology recommends athletes thought to have a concussion be immediately removed from play and not returned until assessed by a healthcare professional trained in concussion. This isn't just about sports. It's about your brain. When in doubt, sit it out. Learn more at AAN.com/concussion. That's AAN.com/concussion. A message from the American Academy of Neurology.
Hey guys, it's Sue Cosner, your favorite sexual health expert, with another version of Ask the Pro. This month, I got a letter from Sandy in Seattle about an explosive bedroom secret she and her husband recently discovered. She writes, "Dear Sue, my husband and I used to have a great life in the bedroom, but in the last few years, he has struggled. He's tried about everything, but nothing has worked. Then one day he came home and gave me a night I will never forget. He told me about the secret formula, Noxatril, that changed our life in the bedroom once and for all." Wow, Sandy, you beat me to it. I recommend Noxatril to every guy that struggles in the bedroom. It's the only one. Noxatril is all natural and works to increase blood flow fast. It's like that little blue pill on steroids. Noxatril has a special free bottle offer shipped discreetly to your door.
To find out how to get your bottle of Noxatril, call 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954. Get your free bottle for a limited time. Call now. 800-421-0954. 800-421-0954.
Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest is, once again, Dr. Nathan Lentz, Professor of Biology at John Jay College, a division of the City University of New York, and the book is called Human Errors, a panorama of our glitches from pointless bones to broken genes. Well, we were talking about the aging process, and one of the bad things about aging is arthritis. And there's a theory that says that we get arthritis because our immune system is hyperactive and begins to attack itself. Now, if you think about it, you can't think of anything more stupid than a defense system which decides to attack itself. But this overactive immune system, isn't that in some sense a quote-unquote mistake of evolution, that it went too far?
Yeah, so the immune system is a great example of how evolution and natural selection really works with a body in its proper environment or its natural environment. And so, yes, arthritis does seem to be an overactive immune system. And there's other diseases that are the result of this. One that I think is the craziest of all is lupus, because lupus is the immune system attacking itself. The immune system is the very system that's doing the attacking is also the victim. And when you fight yourself, there cannot be a winner. So how does this happen? Well, one very dominant theory now in understanding the evolution of the immune system was that in our past, we lived in a sort of dirtier world in terms of germs, but most of those germs were not pathogenic. They were not harmful. But our immune system, like the rest of our body, evolved in a world where it was much more active, right? So we didn't sterilize our lives. We didn't wash our hands all the time. We didn't cook our food until fairly recently. But it was just, we were just exposed to a lot more of healthy, safe germs. And our immune system got very, very good at sorting out the good germs and the bad germs because it had a lot of practice. The immune system, like everything else, gets better with practice. And so when we deny ourselves the exposure of all of these safe germs, especially in childhood, our immune system never really gets the training that it needs. And so we think we're doing the right thing by raising our children in a totally clean environment and scrubbing all their clothes and sterilizing their bottles, but we're actually harming them because what we're doing is we're denying the immune system exposure to safe germs that will help it practice, that will help it learn friend from foe. And when you don't know who's a friend and who's a foe, at least if you're not that good at it, you will accidentally attack your friends. And that's exactly what happens with our immune system, with allergies, with autoimmune diseases, like you mentioned, arthritis, lupus. There's all kinds of autoimmune diseases that seem to be at least partially the result of the fact that we are not using our immune system in the way that it was designed to work, which is in a dirty world.
Now, there's an expression, seeing is believing, but let's talk about the brain and perception. Isn't it true that the brain takes shortcuts? That is, what you see is not really reality. It's a shortcut version of reality. For example, your optic nerve and your retina, by rights, your optic nerve should obscure part of your vision because that's where the nerves connect to the brain. But you don't see anything. You think you see a smooth reality, which is an optical illusion because the body patches in the spot where the optic nerve is. So instead of seeing a big, gigantic black spot in the middle of your vision, you see pure nothing. So what are your thoughts about whether or not the brain sometimes takes a lot of shortcuts to create a very fast representation of reality when reality is much more complicated?
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. Our brain has evolved to do very quick calculations, to establish rules and then follow those rules rather than simply taking in the world around us as it is. We call those
rules.
Okay,
Nathan, we have to take yet another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. You can always give us a call at 612-564-8135 and ask a question, make a comment, and maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Fantastic. Stay tuned.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
It takes a lot of courage to face your own death, but I'm glad I finally did. See, I was putting off getting life insurance to protect my family, even though I knew it was important. Then my neighbor's husband died. I watched her struggle emotionally and financially. It really made me face reality. If my husband died, how would I pay the mortgage, the car payments, or keep up the life the kids and I had? I realized I needed to get us life insurance right away, so I called AIG Direct. In less than 5 minutes, I had a quote. I was shocked at how affordable it is. Just $14 a month for $250,000 of term life coverage. I feel so much better knowing my family has protection.
Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-613-2646. That's 1-800-613-2646. 1-800-613-2646.
Brought to you by Professor Michio Kaku. This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. And once again, if you want to get on the air, then give us a call at 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station or website that you're listening to, and the city you're calling from, and bingo, maybe you can get on 100 radio stations that carry Science Fantastic. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Nathan Lentz, Professor of Biology at John Jay College of the City University of New York, and his delightful book is called Human Errors, A Panorama of Our Glitches from Pointless Bones to Broken Genes. And when we last left off, we were talking about the fact that what you see is not what you get, that you only approximate reality rapidly because you have to see that tiger hiding in the forest. You have to see that lion that's just about to pounce on you, and you have to jump to conclusions sometimes. So isn't it true that sometimes we see things that aren't really there, and that the brain forces us to see, for example, images in clouds? Clouds, of course, are formless, they mean nothing, but you see images, you see faces, you see people, you see cartoon characters in clouds because your brain thinks that that's a good way to survive because one of these days is going to save your butt. So what are your thoughts about the imperfections now of the brain?
Right. So it's funny to call it an imperfection because really what it's doing is the brain making incredible leaps and filling in all kinds of blanks, but it doesn't always get it right. And when the brain pieces together all of the input that we're bombarded with, especially visual input, we're just bombarded with all of these images that come in, of course, as electromagnetic radiation. And we have to make sense of it. And we have to make sense of it quickly, as you said, because, you know, a split second can be the difference in life and death. So we generate rules and we look for patterns. And those rules are called heuristics. And the brain sort of measures the input against its memories and then it makes a call. So when you look at a chair, for example, your brain very quickly matches up that input with the stored images that you have in the association areas so that you can just glance at it and immediately know what it is. And that's great for making quick judgments, but it also leaves you vulnerable to being fooled. And so the whole world of optical illusions and stage magic and other things like this are based on the idea that our brains will leap to conclusions very, very quickly based on limited input and fill in the blanks. The other thing that our brain does, and this is even larger than vision, it really affects everything we do and everything we think about, is pattern recognition. We are always looking for patterns, and we will see patterns even when they aren't there because it's so overactive. And that's why you mentioned we'll see a face in the cloud, or we'll see, especially faces, by the way, because it is really how we interact with each other, is by looking at faces. So we'll see faces anywhere. You'll see faces of Jesus in your toast in the morning, if you look for it. And so this tendency to overread the data in order to find a pattern really goes all the way back to the earliest evolution of our brain. And again, it wasn't a flaw, probably, when we were living in the savannah of Africa. It probably saved our lives and helped us figure out, well, even in this sense, if you can recognize how the flock moves, then you can see that pattern, then you can predict it and you can catch them. So it really was quite valuable, but our tendency to overinterpret the data leads us to make a lot of mistakes and to see patterns that really aren't there. So that's why it's now a flaw, even though it might not have been in the past.
In fact, I understand there's a word for it called pareidolia. Pareidolia is seeing things that are not really there, because in the long run, maybe it'll one day save your butt.
That's right.
Okay.
So we have an extreme sensitivity to creepy crawlies because, that, like you said, it saved our lives.
Okay, well, in your book, you had a number of very interesting anomalies of the human body. What are some of your favorites? That is, if you were to have a handful of them to show to young students the quirkiness of the human body, what illustrations would you choose?
Honestly, I think the poor design of our sinus cavities is one of my favorite ones, because our sinus cavities, everyone sort of thinks of them as, oh, they warm up the air, they help us purify the air before we breathe it. That's actually not true at all. In fact, if you breathe through your mouth instead of your nose, you skip those sinus cavities altogether, and there's no downside to that. You can breathe through your mouth and be just fine.
Okay, let's take another short commercial break. Once again, you are listening to Science Fantastic. Give us a call. The hotline number is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call letters to the radio station or website you're listening to and the city you're calling from, and ask that question. Make that comment that you've always wanted to make but never had the opportunity. So stay tuned.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S. patented Made in America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Hi, this is George Norrie. I'll be in the Chicago area October 25th and 26th for the Health Freedom Expo. It's going to be an incredible weekend of lectures, workshops, and exhibits with leading experts and the newest products in natural and alternative medicine. Join speakers Jeffrey Smith, Lisa Oz, Patch Adams, Ocean Robbins, and Doc Wallach, and get your tickets today at TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com. You have a right to a naturally vibrant and healthy life. That's TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com or call 1-888-658-3976.
This is Science Fantastic.
Welcome back to Science Fantastic with Professor Michio Kaku. Once again, our special guest today is Professor Nathan Lenz, Professor of Biology at John Jay College of the City University of New York. And he's the author of a great book. I highly recommend it. The book is called Human Errors, A Panorama of Our Glitches from Pointless Bones to Broken Genes. And so I asked you a question. If you were to jot down a handful of your favorite glitches, I mean glitches that are kind of humorous, but summarize your basic point, what would they be?
Yeah, so I think the sinus cavities are especially poorly designed. We don't really need them at all. But what's worse about that is they're constantly creating mucus, which is fine, and it sort of drains down into our throat, and then we swallow it. But the problem is the drainage pipe of our largest sinus cavities, these are the maxillary sinus cavities in our cheeks, the drain pipe for those cavities is located at the top of the chamber, not the bottom where you would expect, where a plumber would put the drain at the bottom. So this is definitely not intelligently designed. And what that means is that your body has to work very hard to push the mucus up to the drain so that it can drain. And when that doesn't happen, when it gets full of dust or particles, the mucus pools at the bottom of that cavity, and that's how you get the common cold, that's how you get sinus infections, and that really turns that mucus into a thick, festering pool of infection. And it really comes down to design, because if you look at the sinus cavities of any other mammals, they flow much better, they have a better design, the drain pipe isn't at the top of the chamber, and because of that, they don't get the common cold. And if you were to, you know, a lot of us have dogs and cats, and they don't, you know, come down with sniffles and sneezes 3 or 4 times a year. This is really a uniquely human condition, the common cold, and it has to do at least partly with the poor design of our sinuses. So that's always at the top of my list, just because we get colds so commonly. Another one, if you have time for another example.
Sure.
Is how needy our diet is. We really need a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We're actually very poor at extracting nutrients from our food, and even worse, at making those nutrients ourselves, like most animals do. And the reason our diet is so needy is that for most of our evolutionary history, we were living in a salad bowl of really rich, nutritious food. We were generalists. We were omnivores. We ate lots of different things. We ate worms and bone marrow and meat and vegetables. We had access to so much rich food that our bodies got lazy in making a lot of these things ourselves. And so now what sounds like a good thing is being able to eat anything has become a real Achilles heel, in the sense that we have to have a rich diet in order to be healthy. And so you need fruits and you need vegetables and you need a little bit of this, a little bit of that, or else you're not healthy. Whereas most animals can survive on a very, very simple diet. If you look at the koala, it eats eucalyptus leaves pretty much exclusively, and they can be completely healthy on just that one type of leaf, where there is not one food you can eat and be healthy. In fact, you need lots of different kinds of foods to get everything that we need. And that's a flaw in and of itself.
Okay, here is an abstract question. Has evolution stopped? I mean, of course, people still have selection as to who they marry and have kids with, but in the main, when you look at the larger picture, are we getting bigger brains? Are we getting better fingers so we can manipulate our cell phones? What are your thoughts about whether or not evolution has pretty much stopped or whether it's continuing?
Right, so evolution has definitely not stopped for the reasons that you just mentioned. So we're deciding who we have kids with or whether or not we're having kids. But natural selection has mostly stopped. So natural selection, really who lives and dies, well, almost everyone that's born lives to reproductive age. So we're really not under the watchful eye of natural selection anymore. But we are evolving in the sense of who reproduces and how much. Our brains are not getting bigger, that's for sure. In fact, our brains are getting smaller over the last 100,000 years. Actually, our brains have gotten a little bit smaller over the last 500,000 years, but that's probably because they've gotten more efficient. Brains are extremely energy expensive, and so there's been a lot of pressure on our species to use our brain more efficiently. So we have 10% smaller brains than Neanderthals, for example. Most people don't realize that. But I don't think they were smarter than us. We have more efficient brains. Our hands aren't getting any better. In fact, I would say our bodies are getting worse, if anything, simply because people who have various defects and deficiencies in their bodies, it really doesn't cost them any reproductive success anymore. We fix those flaws with modern medicine. So in a sense, genetically speaking, we're probably getting worse, but we're getting better in terms of the output, the final function, because we're augmenting our bodies with technology, and that was only going to continue. And that's part of our evolution as well, if you think about it. So we're not separate from these fixes. Those fixes are part of who we are, and that's how we will continue to evolve. So I'm very optimistic about our future.
Well, my favorite mistake in evolution would be snoring. Very few apes snore. We snore because our snout has been being compressed into our face. Bulldogs will snore because their snout is also quite close to their nasal cavities. But most dogs don't snore. Most animals don't snore because it's a dead giveaway to predators and your enemies. But we do snore because our snout has been pushed into our face, compressing everything back there in our nasal cavities. So, well, what are your thoughts? I mean, do you think that snoring is really an accident of evolution?
Yeah, in fact, I think you said it very well. In the evolution of primates and then monkeys and then especially humans, we smushed our snout up into our face so that we could bring our eyes forward and get this 3D vision. So you need your eyes to cover both eyes to cover your field of vision in order to see in three dimensions very well. And the cost of that, of course, was the snout moved up in our face. But that's one half of it. The other half of it is that most people who snore are at least slightly overweight. And what happens when you're overweight in the laying down position is that the septum that separates our nasopharynx from our regular pharynx can flop down. So I think, and we become overweight because of evolution as well. So I think that both of those things together, the poor design of the nasal cavities and the poor design that's leading to obesity, they sort of collide onto our throats, and that's why we snore so much.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, that's the time we have for Science Fantastic. Once again, our special guest has been Dr. Nathan Lenz, professor of biology at John Jay College of the City University of New York. And his book, a delightful book, I highly recommend it, is Human Errors, a panorama of our glitches from pointless bones to broken genes. And if you want to get on Science Fantastic, give us a call. The number to call is 612-564-8135. Leave your name, call in to the radio station or the website you're listening to and the city you're calling from, and maybe you can get on national radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.